on your way.
Stop by the church sometime.
Stop by the church sometime.
Stop by the church sometime.
Something may be said to help you on your way. When you see the deacons, you ought to shake their hands and tell them all the goodness about what the Lord has done. The Holy Ghost is moving until every pain and care is left behind. You got a made up mind to leave your burdens there. You ought to stop by the church. To the songs that they sang. Listen to the songs that they sing. The words of a song will help you to carry on. And while you're there in prayer, the Holy Ghost will meet you there. You ought to stop by the church sometime.
Stop by.
Church sometime. I give God the glory. Amen. A little pick me up, and I just thank God for what he is doing. God bless each and every one of you. It is a blessing. It's a beautiful thing. My God, that what God is doing. I'm telling you right now, my God, you need to buckle your seatbelt and just jump in this thing that God is doing. Amen. We thank God for our families and friends all over the world. We acknowledge our international partners and listeners. Some have been with us for years. We thank God for you all because of you all. My God almighty, in making who we are to this day. And also we thank God for our families and friends in Fiji. Amen. Island of Fiji. It's a beautiful island. My God, that's one place I had to research when I seen you all being a part of our ministry. So thank God for you all over there in the island of Fiji. We thank God for each and every one of you. It's a blessing, saints of God. What a week we're going to be having. It's going to be a blessing to your soul, especially this week, my God, if you want to continue to increase your relationship with God. And not only that, if you are in a place of ministry, amen, I'm going to help you to put some things in its proper priority place, amen, because I'm telling you right now, regardless of what we do or try to do, not everything, not in and everything will work with God. It doesn't work like that. I wish it does, but it doesn't work like that with God. Everything, it has to be in order, my God, for things to work with God. Some of you, oh my God, what's in you need to be ignited. Amen. We want to pull that what's in you out of you. Amen. Because God is looking for another remnant. And I'm telling you right now, don't allow this to pass you by. Jump on the train. Amen. Because at the end of the day, you probably be more than qualified. My God. But we just got to get stuff out of the way. So we just thank God for you all. Once again, it's going to be a blessed week. Amen. I need Evangelist Elect me to just go ahead and press one on her phone. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. And we just give God the glory. Because God is, my God, He is in control. My God, how many of y'all know that this morning that God is control? If you know that God is in control, I want you to go ahead and just gather your minds, because I want to help you to bless the week that God bless this week, that we will have a blessed week. Amen. I know you are already blessed, but we want the blessings to come in easy this week. Amen. We want the blessings to come in by way of thought, by way of us speaking, as these things that we don't learn a couple of weeks ago of commanding our morning. So therefore, Father, we thank you as we begin to come in and engage into your presence in your word, God, and also engage into your presence in prayer. God, we thank you that before we must come before you, we already searched our heart. We already searched our mind, God, and we already disposed in the different things that is within us, God, that we understand through the word of God, through your word, my God, that is examining our life. We already put the I's where it needs to be, and we already put the T's where it needs to be. God, I thank you, God, for that. For God, we already brought whatever issue that we need to bring for to get some correction. We brought it and put it on ourselves. So God, as we come before you, we not come before you like individuals that is trying to be deceitful, or individuals that is trying to, my God Almighty, be conniving. But we come to you that sons and daughters that we do not have no perfect worker record, but because of us acknowledging our walk with you and acknowledging our different things that it calls a thorn into our flesh, God, that is the thing that make us perfect before you. So God, you said it in your word that cast our cares upon you. So God, we're going to put all week of casting our cares upon you, because once we make our Lord lightly and we begin to walk into your word, now we could come into a place to declare and decree your promises. Everything that you done spoke in our life, everything that you done said that we are, God, we speak it now in the name of Jesus. We speak forth our blessing. We don't speak forth what we see or our condition that we are in. We speak forth. We speak to the solution that we are going to and the solution that we are receiving. So this morning, God, my God Almighty, over here in the United States of America, Eastern Standard Time, we over here, and especially all over the world, we speak forth our solution. Our solution is we are blessed. Our solution is we are healed. Our solution is everything that the enemy meant for bad, my God Almighty, is going to get turned around for its good. That's why we could celebrate you, God, not because of the different things that you are blessing in our lives. It's because that you give us an opportunity. If we speak it, it'll change. You give us an opportunity. If we believe it, it will change. You give us an opportunity that if we want to change some situations right now, we have. You gave us the power to do so. So God, we thank you. We praise you, God, because you could have, my God Almighty, you could have at times pushed us to the side, but through your grace and mercy, you haven't, God. You could have at times, God, turned your back on us, but through your grace and mercy, you haven't, God. So God, we will lift our voices. We will give you the glory, and we thank you, God. My God Almighty, so this week, God, as we engage into your word and into the things of you, God, on this week, God, I pray that, God, that the spirits of the individuals, my God, will be ignited. God, I pray even now that you will stir up a fresh hunger to want to dig inside of you, want to know more of you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, that whatever the enemy tried to do with the individual, trying to get them distraction, trying to detour them, trying to stop them, trying to divide them, God, I pray that we already put a praise on it. My God, we already put a praise on it for this Monday morning, Monday evening. We already put a praise on it, even for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, God, in Saturday. So this week going to be a week of celebration. This week going to be a week of impartation. This week going to be a week of rededication. This week going to be a week, my God, of walking into our prosperity. This week going to be a week of having our minds made up so we can walk into our purpose with no apology. God, we give you the honor and we give you the praise right there. Somebody go ahead and worship him this morning, because he is good and his mercy endureth forever. God bless you, evangelist elect.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. And as God, as apostles say, put a praise on it right there. That prayer was so powerful, so anointed. It should have you, it was just a beautiful prayer. And it should have you in a place where you want to encourage yourself. You want to encourage whatever your situation is. Like he say, don't talk about the situation, speak to the solution. And so that's where you should be right now, just hearing the words that came out that was strictly from the Holy Spirit. Because on today, we are going to encourage ourselves. We're not speaking, we're not talking to the solution anymore. We're not speaking to the situation. We're going to talk to the solution. And with that being said, we're going to go into Ezekiel 37, and we're going to speak about the dry bones. But I want you to know, when you read this, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, God was talking about spiritually dead people. He's talking to the spiritual dead, those that chose not to be obedient, those that may sit and come and feel, you know, have all these different issues, those that still have not taken the speck out of them their eyes, those that still have not stripped naked before the Lord and say, here I am, I surrender all, those that are still complaining and grumbling instead of speaking to their solution, those that are still saying, I could do this today and get away with it, not realizing we don't know when the day, hour, nor the hour is. No, that's who God was speaking to and whatnot. And then he used a prophet. He used a prophet. He used the spoken word to handle this whole scenario about what we're getting ready to go through. And I'm going to go through it line by line. Ezekiel 37, 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. God's servant, in order for you to be carried out of the Lord, you have to know who God is. You have to have an intimate relationship. You have to have your own personal relationship and have had a personal experience yourself with God. You have had to have went through something with God in order for you to be able to tell other people what's going on, how it's going to be, or whatever. You have to have had a personal experience, something that's so unimaginable, something that you can't even possibly think of, in order to know that spirit is residing in you for you to be able to go back and tell somebody else about it. And it also said, it set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And the way that when I read it, the way I got out of it and went into the commentary, you're talking basically of a grave site. You were talking about a grave site that nobody would want to go into, the area where God took Ezekiel. No one is going to volunteer. The thought of it will sit and immediately bring the spirit of fear, the spirit of confusion, the spirit of cowardness. You had to, it was just a place that you know that you're not going to. So you have to be able to sit and understand or realize what God has for you. That means that God has something special or either a tough assignment for Ezekiel to carry out. So he had to sit and take him to the most darkest place to realize this not going to be easy. You're going to have to gird your loins. You're going to have to get yourself together in order to carry out this message that I have. And I need you to have some type of understanding to realize how important it is, but yet how hard it's going to be. It's not something that's going to be easy. So he had to take him into a dreary and weary place that no one else would go to. And then it says in Ezekiel 37:2, and caused me to pass by them around about. He had to make a thorough survey of this grimy, disgusting place. He had to sit and look at all of these bones that was no longer, had nothing left inside of them. They had been dried up to be nothing but mere dust. It had to be such a disgusting thing for Ezekiel, but you have to remember this. God chose him for a reason, okay? And then Ezekiel 37:3 said, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? God didn't ask Ezekiel that question because he didn't know the answer. We know that God knows everything. God asked him because he did not want the prophet to lean on his own understanding, but to rely on God. He didn't want, Ezekiel could have sat and said, yeah, God, it can happen because I can sit and start speaking to these bones. I can do this. I can do that. No, God needed Ezekiel, the prophet, to sit and rely on him and deal with his plan of action. He didn't need him to put a plan together. God had already orchestrated the plan. He just needed Ezekiel to sit and know that Ezekiel was willing to go through his plan of action. Not Ezekiel's, but God's plan of action. Ezekiel 37:3-4, and I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let's pause there for a minute. In our natural mind, we may say, God, this is insane. You want me to speak to dry bones? You want me to do, I don't have the ability to do this, God. I'm not you. I don't have the, that this is unimaginable. I can't speak into the future because he said prophesy. And we know that prophesy is speaking into the future of something. So he said, you want me to speak into the future of dry bones? Look at all those people over there. Why can't I go? No, God needed him to speak into the future of dry bones. What we need to understand is God gives us an assignment. We need no justification for doing it. What may seem crazy or unrealistic to you is knowing, this is what you need to understand, that God has came to a knowing because of your personal experience with him that you are capable of doing it. That is why he chose you to complete the assignment, because you have had your own personal experience, which brought you out of a spiritually dead state. And this is why God was able to choose Ezekiel, because Ezekiel wasn't living in the dead. Ezekiel was in the present with God. He wasn't living in the past. He didn't have scales to pull off at that point in time. He was where God needed him to be. So God gave him this hard, unimaginable assignment to talk to spiritually dead. Ezekiel 37:5-6. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. He had to tell these bones the unconditional purposes and promises of God. God said, I will, and ye shall. God told him, I will. This is what he would do. I need you to speak and let them know what I will do, and then what ye shall do. And this is the way in which God works out his internal purposes concerning the sons of men. He bids his servants to proclaim his message. I'm going to say that again. When a prophet is coming to you and giving you the words of God, it is just that, the words of God, not something that they have placed together. God has given them the vision, the dream, the word. They didn't sat back. They've had a conversation with God, and he's given them the words to say. It's not what they say. It's what God say. God told him exactly what to say and what he was going to do. I will cause breath to enter into ye, and ye shall live. He said, this is what me, God, the great I am, these are the things that I will do. Okay, Ezekiel 37:7. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied, and I was commanded as I prophesied. And as he was prophesying, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Here we see God's divine power by restoring the bones to their original state just by the sound of voice. His spoken words, things that we have been talking about now for weeks, the spoken word brought the bones together. As Ezekiel was speaking the words, he heard the shattering of the bones, the coming together of the bones, the neck bone connecting to this bone, and then the knee bone connected. He heard these bones coming together by a spoken word, because he was in the will of God. He was doing what God had instructed him to do, not deviating and doing different things. He did exactly what God told him to do and nothing else. Okay, and Ezekiel 37:8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was yet no breath in them. Now we got a picture of bones that sitting there, that the skin didn't cover them, that they now are looking like a body. They're looking, the skeletal has been covered. They're looking like a body. You may even be able to sit in, you're able to identify that. You're no longer dust. Your bones have came together. The skin has came. So now you're looking like, okay, well, I'm back human again. But the problem is that seeing dead bodies without life. On today, we have men and women walking around proclaiming that they're doing the will and proclaiming the word of God. We see it. I'll pick up, look on the TV, go on social media. We have people out there proclaiming the word of God, but yet they are still spiritually dead because they refuse to receive the new lifeline. They are still in a coma, living in darkness, depending on a ventilator to breathe for them, because they have not received the awakening that God has for them to fulfill his purpose to his people. See, they were still lifeless because they were hopeless. And God, they hadn't yet, even though that the body, the skin had came over the body, they all of these different things, they still had a process to go through. So God didn't immediately right then and there put the breath. When he built them up, it's like the foundation was laid, and he still needed to build the structure around them. Ezekiel 37:9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy unto the wind, son of man, prophesy unto the wind. That seems very absurd. That seems like a very absurd thing to do. But we do know that all things are possible with God. We do know that God is not going to have you do anything that he does not feel like you are capable of doing. But if you're in the will of God, I want to keep putting that being in the will of God, because I want you to understand that when a prophet comes before you, he's a man of honor. He's a man of integrity. He's a man that's sitting and listening to God. He's a man that's not doing what he wants to do. He's not leaning on his own understanding. He's doing what God asked him to do. So it wasn't impossible. God didn't think that it was impossible for Ezekiel to speak to the wind. Ezekiel had to realize that God trusted him to do that, that he was chosen. He was handpicked to sit and do such a task as this. 37:9-10. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, God come from the four winds. Oh, breathe and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesy. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied and as he commanded me. He prophesied as God commanded him. Are you sitting back and hearing what God is telling you to do? Or are you sitting and leaning on your own understanding? One thing about this scripture, 37:9-10, it identifies that Ezekiel was very obedient. He spoke exactly what he was told to say. He did not change the wording to fit what he wanted to say. He did not add or take away. He only wanted to know that he was doing God's will at that time. He didn't question God, but what did he do? He immediately did what God asked him to do, again, without hesitation. So he said, so I prophesied as he commanded me. This is a prime qualification as a servant, that you should follow the instructions of God that has been set forth. It's not for you to sit and think about what you can do, or no, you know what, I got a different plan. I'm going to sit and say it this way. I'm going to do it that way. I'm whatever. See, when people sit, when prophets sit and they prophesy to you and they telling you what they say and not what thus said the Lord say, and if they're not in the rightful position to sit and say it, because they're not following the instructions, they're not being obedient to what God has told them to do, you're not going to see it come to fruition. You're not. Because God sits and he lets the prophet know exactly what you need, how it needs to be done. And how do the prophet know that? Because he's sitting and he's meditating and he has a personal experience with God. He has an intimate relationship that only him and God understand. And God sees what he's capable of doing, what he's capable of saying, and not being fearful because it may hurt your feelings. Not being fearful because it may sit and tell you, whereas scripture says you shall live and not die. You are going to X, Y, and Z because of your disobedience. See, a prophet job, it's such a hard job, and if it's not something that you are prepared for, it's not going to work. You sitting and you giving false prophecies, and when you sit and he tell you that neither you shall live and not die, That's what exactly what he wants you to say, because that's what he gave you at that time. He didn't say, neither you shall live and not die. And on the third day of June, you're going to get $1 million. That's not what God say. Prophets have to be extremely obedient to God. But I want to expand that, not just prophets, women, men, children of God, those that call themselves Christians, we have to. We must. Not going to say have to. We must. It's mandated for us to be obedient to God and to hear his voice and to allow him to exercise your faith, to stretch you out a little bit, allow you to go through a personal experience, something that may have been so devastated, huh, that you know that only God was able to pull you out. But during that devastation, you realize who God was. This is where we need to be during this time. We're not to sit and use our own wisdom and suggest our own plans. We need to do as Ezekiel did, a servant of God, a servant, someone that's serving the people, someone that's fulfilling God's promises, someone that's fulfilling their duties to assure that the flock is fed the truth. Not if you sit and pay, sow a seed of, and take a scripture and put with that seed, and then you sit and say, because it's Psalms 33, you send $33 in, receive your healing. And if you want a double healing, if my neck and my back is hurting, then I'm a send in a double portion of that. No, no, no. That's not what God prophets are here to do. That's not what God servants are here to do. Moving on. 37:10-11. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. There is no hope for us. We are dead, and worse than dead. Our case is hopeless. There is no possibility of restoration for us. Ezekiel 36:12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. We can sit today, this pandemic, COVID-19, has the whole entire, we're going to talk about our nation, has the whole entire nation, because that's where the dry bones was in the nation of Israel. So we're going to keep it at a nation. Has the nation seeming as if we dead and buried. But God, but we know, and if you trust in and believe it, that God will revive and restore it. This is a promise that applies to everyone at this time who is very low in a spiritual state, and it looks as if they never can do anything good. They got self-condemnation. They continuing to do the same old thing over and over. They spiritually dead. They committed a sin that they feel that God won't forgive them for. They sitting and they got a reprobated mind. They refuse to just strip naked unto the Lord. They sit and they continue to live off of their past mistakes. As I stated early, thinking that you got time to change it. But my sister, my brother, I want to sit and tell you, you may be in the midst of saying, Father, forgive. And guess what? It's too late. So instead of sitting there, living in self-condemnation, instead of sitting there saying, I'm going to take this last drink. Sitting there saying, oh, I'm complaining. Oh, my knee's hurting. I need a machete. Or sitting there and saying, oh, I'm a sinner. God can't use me. God don't even see me. God do not hear my prayers. That means that you haven't came to the point where you're trying to come up out your spiritual state. No, your low spiritual death, your spirit, that's your state of being spiritually dead. You want to sit there. You want to waddle. You have no hope. You have no reverence for God. You have no trust in God. But God took us to this scripture today to let you know that you don't have to sit and waddle in your mess. You don't have to sit and allow people and places and things of your past to hold you hostage and let you feel like that you can't do this. I can't be that nobody. I can't change my life. I will never receive a healing. No, you can do it. You need to confess your sins. Ask God for forgiveness. Repent. Ask God to create in you a clean heart. Ask God to renew your mind. And then allow him, once all of these things have came in place, allow him to increase your discernment so you can start operating in the gift of wisdom, not making the same foolish mistakes, your past mistakes, not living in darkness. Now you have came into light. You are no longer ignorant. You are no longer sitting and letting self-condemnation beat you up. Now the light is there. So now you want to sin and you want to follow the light, knowing that God has a plan for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, he lets us know that he knows the plan for us. He knows the plan. It's up to us to make a conscious decision and start speaking to our dry bones. I decree and declare the pain that I have in my body. I decree and declare that by your stripes I am healed. To the person that has a lack of in their bank account, I decree and declare that I shall go out and get a job and be able to fix my situation. For those that are homeless, I decree and declare that God in his word states that I shall not worry about where I sleep, where I eat, that this promise will come forth. Why? Because faith without works is dead. I will pick myself up. I will change my mind. I will ask God to take away the speck in my eye. I will look in the mirror and sit and say, this has to change. I will do better for myself. I will not sit and lay in the grave with these dry bones. God has revived me. He has resurrected me. He has given me a new flesh. That means he has changed, took off. He has rebuilt you from dust. He has set. He has put you together, and he has molded you into be something different. I sit and I tell you today to get up. Get up out of that dry place. Get up out of that grave and sit and decree and declare, because God has given you the authority to do these things. Get up this morning. Command your atmosphere. Command your morning. Command things as if they had already happened. You have the ability to do so. Speak to them dry bones. Let them know. Let them know I have a renewed mind. I'm up. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And if you're not, you do not do what God tells you to do, obedience is the key. And doing God's will, then you can speak all you want to. But I sit and I decree and declare that this morning minds have been changed. New hearts have been created. A difference. You are no longer sitting and living under fear. You are no longer sitting and self-condemning yourself. You realize that there is hope. Why there is hope? Because God's word never comes back void. Why is there hope? Because God will never leave you and forsake you. Why is there hope? Because God tells you to trust in him and not lean on your own understanding. Why is there hope? Because he knows the plans that he has for you. Why is there hope? Because he hides you in his safety place. He gives us a time, an opportunity to do things differently. He gives us a time to sit and say, I want to change. I need to change. There is no other option for me to change. Speak to your dry bones. Get up this morning. Stop self-pitying yourself. Getting on the TV listening to these false prophets that's sitting and telling you to pay this and pay that and you won't have any pain. Stop sitting and letting them tell you, oh, Shanita, the Lord of God spoke to me about you today. If you sit back and you strip yourself naked and you sit and ask God, start talking to God, telling him what your situation is, asking him, Father God, let your Holy Spirit live inside of me, lead me, guide me, so I will come up out of this condition. I trust you. I tell you, I will sit and by the word of God, 199% that God will change you. Give him the invitation. Give him the opportunity. Allow his Holy Spirit to manifest in your life so you can speak to the dry bones. God restored Israel. God took them back into a place of restoration. And he did it for them. Scripture says what has been done before will happen again. Allow God to take you back into your Israel, your promised land. Allow God to resurrect you and place you where you need to be. No more time for self-pity. No more time for self-condemnation. Sit and say, God, it is me. I shall go. I surrender all. What is it that you want me to do? Not my will, but your will be done in my life. Amen, amen, amen. Turning it over to you, Apostle.
Son of man, can these bones be made whole? You know, that's a very interesting story, and that story always blessed me when I hear it, because there's so much of depth in that and so much of revelation. There's so much of volume that it speaks to everyone on whatever situation you're in. Amen. One thing that I love about Ezekiel, he wasn't arrogant. He wasn't arrogant because he done seen God did this. You got to understand the backdrop of Ezekiel. That man was a man of vision. He was a prophet, but he was also a man of vision. He's seen a lot. God took him in the spirit realm and showed him a lot. You know, and he wasn't arrogant. He had a grounding on him was second to none. He was very grounded. He didn't come and like he knew it all. He didn't come and say, yeah, I can handle this. I can prophesy this. I can do this because of the things that he, his past. You know, one thing that I love about him, and as Evangel was sharing, that when God asked him, he said, only thou knowest. Other words, God, you know, I only do what I'm able to do because of you giving me the permission or you allow me to do what I need to do. But you give me a question, but only you know that answer because I'm able to do what I do through you. See, you got to understand something, saints of God, as we begin to leave here. You are able to do what you do through God. He is your provider. He is your caretaker. He is the one that is the head of your life. So now it's a question to be asked, son of man or son of daughter, can your finances heal? Can your body heal? Can things be turned around for you? I know that you got so much of power inside of you, but when you are dealing with the one that is the power, you are dealing with the one that is the finances. You are dealing with the one that is the healing. He's all that thing. Now you're dealing with that one. Now it's a different types of prayer, a different type of talking, a different approach that we must have to take. Amen. It's a very powerful thing once you get into a place of God. It's not a place of arrogance. It's a place of God, you know. I'm just a servant. I'm just a child, you know. I thank God for you all this morning, and the evangelists were awesome job. Amen. There's so much depth into that. And I want you to go, many of you, as you're listening to us, go this morning and just let God know, God, you know. You only you know. And I just thank you, God. And you're the only one knows. Amen? Amen. Listen, saints of God, we want you all to come back with us this evening at 8 p.m. Amen. And I want you to get on our conference line. We're on the conference line. We're not on the block talk in the afternoon. but we're on the conference line. And this week going to be a very powerful week, especially those that is in ministry and those that want the structure in their life where they can continue to grow into God. And you're really going to get an understanding. I'm a firm believer of that for peoples of God to really have the grasp understanding that they need. You know, I need to help teach you like a preacher. You know, like you're a preacher, like you're a minister, regardless if that is not your calling, your office, but I want you to understand the word of God from that position. And when you begin to understand the word of God for that position, you can really apply it to your life. Amen. I want to show you how you can walk into an office of being a shepherd. You probably say, Pastor, I'm not a shepherd. Well, it's two different types of shepherds now. One, it is a spiritual type of shepherd to where you are a leader or you are walking in an office of God. But it's another type of shepherd where you are a leader of your house. You're a leader of your home. You're a leader of your life. You're a leader of the different things that God gave you authority of. You're a shepherd. Nobody else is over that. Amen. I'm not over that. Amen. If you want to sign all your possessions over to me, that's fine. But I'm not over your possession. I'm not over your life. I'm not over the different things that God bless you. You are. So you're a shepherd. So you have to understand how to apply principles as a shepherd for your life. It don't got nothing to do about the spiritual realm. It don't got nothing to do if you ain't a pastor, you're a prophet, you ain't a bishop and all that. No. It has something to do with you are a leader. You're a shepherd in your life that God gave you stewardship of. And you need to begin to apply, begin to operate, and you need to begin to work as a shepherd in your life. For you could teach him the increase in the blessings of the Lord coming in. God bless you all. We're going to see you this evening at 8 p.m. on our other line, but we can keep us selling into the things of God. God bless you all.
Is Christ alone?